You are listening to the Life of Jesus Christ in a Year from the visions of Anne Catherine Emmerich from TAN. I'm Father Edward Looney, and each day I will be reading and offering commentary to guide you through Anne Catherine Emmerich's magnificent mystical revelations. In addition to listening, you can follow along with the four-volume hardcover set of the Life of Jesus Christ and Biblical Revelations available from TAN. Before we get to today's reading, let us ask the intercession of our venerable author. O blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich, devout and pious follower of Christ, who patiently endured the frailty of this mortal condition, who humbly received the honorable marks of Christ Jesus on your hands, feet, side, head, and chest, the marks which you were blessed by the Lord to witness for yourself in his own sufferings. We graciously ask for your intercession with God, that we sinners may be forgiven of our sins and be drawn more completely into spiritual communion with Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We ask this in the name of the Most Holy Lamb of God, through the intercession of Holy Mary, our Mother. Amen. Today is day number 208, and in this episode, we will continue reading from Volume 3. Today we read number 12, Jesus Goes to the Jewish City. Jesus afterward went with his followers and some of the doctors to the separate Jewish city, about 1/2 hour to the north. He was followed by many of his late audience, and he continued to speak with several little groups. The route led over some more elevated places, below which lay meadows and gardens. Here and there were rows of trees, and again some solitary ones, high and dense, up which the traveler might climb and find a shady seat. The view extended far around on several little localities and fields of golden wheat. Sometimes the road ran along broad, naked walls of rock, in which whole rows of cells had been hewn out of the field labors. Outside the Jewish city stood a fine inn and pleasure garden. Here, Jesus' own party entered while he bade the rest of his escort return to their homes. The disciples washed Jesus' feet, then one another let down their garments and followed their master into the Jewish city. During the foot washing, I saw near the inn on one side of the high road that ran along the city long, light buildings like sheds, in which were a great number of Jewish women and maidservants busied in selecting, arranging, and carefully preserving the fruits which female slaves or domestics carried thither in baskets from the gardens around. The fruits were of all kinds, large and small, also berries. They separated the good from the bad, made all kinds of divisions, and even laid some wrapped in cotton on shelves one over another. Others were engaged in picking and packing cotton. I noticed all the housewives lowering their veils as soon as the men appeared on the high road. The sheds were divided into several compartments. They looked to me like a general fruitery, where the portion intended for the tithes and that for alms were laid aside. It was a very busy scene. Jesus went with his party to the dwelling of the rabbis near the synagogue. The eldest rabbi received him courteously, though with a tinge of stiff reserve in his manner. He offered him the customary refreshments and said a few words upon his visit to the island and his far-famed reputation. Jesus' arrival having become known, several invalids implored his help, whereupon, accompanied by the rabbis and the disciples, he visited them in their homes and cured many lame and paralyzed. The latter, with their families, followed him out of their houses and proclaimed his praise. But he silenced them and bade them go back. On the streets he was met by mothers and their children whom he blessed. Some carried sick children to him, and he cured them. And so passed the afternoon away till evening, when Jesus accompanied the rabbis to an entertainment in his honor, which entertainment was likewise connected with the beginning of the harvest. The poor and the laboring people were fed at it, a custom which drew from Jesus words of commendation. They were brought from the fields in bands and seated at long tables, like benches of stone, and they're served with various viands. Jesus, from time to time, waited on them himself with the disciples and instructed them in short sentences and parables. Several of the Jewish doctors were present at the entertainment, but on the whole, this company was not so well disposed, not so sincere as the Jews around Jesus' inn near Salamis. There was a tinge of Pharisaism about them, and after they had become heated, they gave utterance to some offensive remarks. They asked whether he could not conveniently remain longer in Palestine, what was the real object of his visit to them, whether he intended to stay any time among them, and ended by suggesting that he should create no disturbance in Cyprus. They likewise touched upon diverse points of his doctrine and manner of acting, which the Pharisees of Palestine were in the habit of rehearsing. Jesus answered them, as he usually did on similar occasions, with more or less severity, according to the measure of their own civility. He told them that he had come to exercise the works of mercy, as the Father in heaven willed him to do. The conversation was animated. It gave Jesus an opportunity for delivering a stern lecture, in which, while commending their goodness to the poor and whatever else was praiseworthy in them, he denounced their hypocrisy. It was already late when Jesus left with his followers. The rabbis bore him company as far as the city gate. This concludes our reading for today, and now we reflect on what we have just listened to, what we have just read. Well, today we have a very short reading, but I know in the next few days we have to make up for some of these shorter readings, so the readings will be a little longer, 10 or 12 pages, I think. So enjoy today with this short reflection, too. We hear this word tinge. You know, these individuals were tinged with different things. With doubt or with Pharisaism. If you think about your life, what are you tinged with? What's kind of the, maybe the one off-putting thing? Do you know it? Do other people know it about you and maybe you're not aware of it? I'm willing to bet we're all tinged in some way, and so I think there's a real value in identifying that, wherever that weak spot or attribute of our life is. Then once we know that weakness, well, then God can work around it and he can work with us through that. One of the things that Jesus notices in these people that he's dealing with today is that they're hypocritical. It says that Jesus gave them a stern lecture, commending them for their goodness to the poor and whatever else was praiseworthy in them, but he denounced their hypocrisy. Wouldn't that be something to pray with? Jesus standing before us, commending us for the good that we do, and then him saying, well, this is where you're a hypocrite. You really have to work on this area. Jesus wants us to improve. He wants us to be truly and authentically Christians, that believers in him, marked by his teachings, that we do what he says, that there isn't an ounce, that there isn't a tinge of hypocrisy in us. In response to Anne Catherine Emmerich today, make today a day of praying for self-awareness and self-discovery. This brings us to the end of our reading and reflection for today. Please be sure to subscribe to the podcast and sign up for email notifications at emmerichpodcast.com and use coupon code ACE25 for 25% off your next order at tanbooks.com. I hope you'll join us next time as we continue meditating on the life of Jesus Christ with the help of Blessed Anne Catherine Emmerich. Please share this podcast with others, rate and review it wherever you listen. Share it on social media, email it to your prayer group, text a link to your friends, and encourage them to so you can have holy conversations about what we're hearing and reading from Anne Catherine Emmerich. Until then, may God bless you and Mary pray for you.